And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes about. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's grind when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Hall. We've got a great show lined up for you. Tonight, we're going to talk on a very important message. How to prepare after Babylon falls. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business in serious times for serious folks that will walk the walk. It's time to quit talking and start acting on the things that the Spirit commands us to do. We're going to give you a verse to think about before we make some announcements, before we get into the message. Proverbs chapter 28:19 will be our basis and foundation to lay a gestalt of thought into your minds tonight. So we want you to get your Bibles, and we basically want to talk to you about the coming fall of Babylon. Can you see your gearing up? You see, when people say peace and safety, then cometh certain, for sure, destruction. He that tilleth with his hand shall have plenty of bread. He that tilleth with his land shall have plenty of bread. The hand to the land. That's your thought tonight. He that tilleth with his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty. More than enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're geared to the system of Babylon. Now, that means that we depend for our food sources and for our livelihood on Babylon. And whether you know it or not, you just may be more deeply involved and committed to serve Babylon than you just think. So after tonight, it may be that you may see a different need or urgency in your life to live after the fall of Babylon. We got to prepare. Now, you're listening to the Shepherd's Song, Pastor Buddy. I suggest that you call someone real quick and tell them we're on the standard time now. We're on the time that has been set back, fall. We fall back in the fall, and we spring forward in the spring. So here we are now in the fall season, and we fall back. So you may tuned in earlier to miss us, but we hope that you're still there to listen. Call a friend. Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call, WWCR, the jewel of the South for transmitting first-class information around the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you exactly what those who have become interdependent on society to provide, listen exactly what's going to happen here. These are the things that you depend on. Number one, your bank. You got to have a place to put your wealth. Now, when banks fail, when money fails, and you say, well, Pastor, but that ain't going to happen. One natural disaster in a worldwide magnitude could cause your banks to close. So if you depend on your bank, your job, your health, or your paycheck, your supermarket, your local delivery, trucks and warehouses, manufacturers, shippers, and the plant itself, manufacturing, the farmers and their harvesting equipment and their delivery systems, the crops themselves, and the weather. Now, that's what you must depend on if you depend on Babylon. Now, to be self-sufficient and reliant upon a land that will yield its tillage, labor that you put into it, is a return solely for your benefit. And if it supplies your needs in the time of trouble, then you have chosen the right thing in the last days to do. So it's important, as we name our message tonight, prepare for survival. Prepare for survival. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Remember, last Sunday night we talked about all things common, how to get back to the common things, how to find property, where to look, and what areas could be deemed safe. The Bible says flee to the mountains. If you're in a mountainous region, then you have more hope of survival than you would to be in the low-lying areas or the coastal areas. And we've done told you about the coastal areas. The Bible says in the last day, the waves of the sea will be roaring. And we've seen that around the world. I'm telling you, with the things that are coming down, the most critical, I'm going to talk about tonight, the most critical, this is going to be a 3 or 4 part series on survival. How to survive after the fall of Babylon. You say, well, Babylon's not going to fall. Oh, yes, she is. You say, well, I don't see how this world system that man has set up and divided, man is going to make sure that it continues on. Oh. But they that trust in man put their trust in vain. For they that trust man are fools, but they that trust the living word of the Creator, meaning that the Bible has if you will, it has cleared itself of all of the unbelief and indictments in the world of people that hold its pages unsacred. The Word, the living Word, and the written Word are telling us in the last days that population shall explode. There are approximately 100 million people added to the problem of overpopulation each year. Now, let me show you. In other words, we're growing at such a rate that we can feed, house, clothe, or give water to. Let me give you just one example. In the first part series, water shortages. Water experts estimate that there is no more fresh water on the earth than there was 2,000 years ago when the population was only 3% of its now current size. So we've grown 97% in 2,000 years, and we've expanded to the point that we're over 6 billion, and by the year 2010, we're going to be another billion people upon the planet to feed, clothe, shelter, or give them drinking water. Nearly half a billion people around the world in 31 countries today, mostly in the Middle East and Africa. Although the continent of Australia, which is not mentioned here in the report, is that it is the driest continent on the earth. So water shortages and people that face these water shortages, and the experts who study it say that by 2025, the number will increase fivefold to 2.8 billion people, and 35% of the world's projected total population of 8 billion people, they will suffer water shortages to the point that they will be extreme. Now, we're talking about that nations may, just may, arm themselves and broaden their search into other countries for water. And that's going on right today. We'll get into that later. In 2025, another 17 countries, including Ethiopia, India, Kenya, Nigeria, Peru, will be joining the other 31 countries that are mostly in Europe, or in Middle East and Europe, or Africa. They will be joining them, and they will likely be short of water, and China and Pakistan are now approaching a water crisis unprecedented. Well, let me give an example here. In Mexico City, Mexico, nearly 20 million people converge in that area. And they have pumped the water from beneath the area of where this giant city sits to the point that the city has sunken 5 inches by measurement. That means that water is being drawn from beneath the city in the major aqueducts, and the city is virtually sinking as a result of it. All of India's 14 major rivers are badly polluted. 3/4 of China's major rivers are unable to support fish. Agriculture, the biggest polluter, meaning that the pollution running off into the rivers are killing the fish population. And of course, all this runs to the ocean. And the ocean is now in dire straits because of the runoff pollution that's in the world. And remember, there is no more fresh water than there was 2,000 years ago. Polluted water and proper waste disposal and poor water management are now causing serious diseases around the world. water and environmental experts call for a global blue revolution to conserve and manage freshwater supply. Well, guess what? That ain't gonna happen. As long as nations can sink wells beneath the land that they till and can increase the yield of the land through natural or unnatural fertilizers, which actually cause more problems than they solve, we're going to have such a water shortage in just a few years that people will actually cry for water. Let me give you a statistic. 30,000 people die each day from water-related diseases. I'm going to give you that again. It was shocking when I saw this research. 30,000 people die each day. Now, what if you went to 30,000 funerals in one day? That is expanding the magnitude of the seriousness of this problem of water. 30,000. Now, the Hebrew word for water is Strong's number, 4325, and I found it interesting that it's spelled in the Hebrew, M-A-H-Y-I-M, Mayim. That's what Hebrew is for water. Now, if water is one of the critical issues in survival, then you need to purchase land and do it quickly. And make sure that the area that you choose water will have a continuous supply after you move there. Remember, the water table is dropping severely over the earth, all under the earth, the water table. Wells are having to go down deeper and deeper to reach the reservoirs of water that is beneath the earth. And remember, not one drop of water has been added to the planet since the creation of time. Although we are not in a world that is covered primarily with water, at least three quarters of the land, this water is undrinkable. And it is not good to pump salt water into the land. It just don't work. And the Father made it that way. The fresh water, the water that's been filtered by natural cycling through the system that the Father has ordained, and with global warming interfering with the natural cyclation of the process that the Father has chosen before the foundation of the world to supply our daily water. Nothing lives, ladies and gentlemen, without water. All around the world, water consumption per inhabitant varies. But an American needs an average of 500 liters a day. 500. That is for his drinking. And ladies and gentlemen, you ain't going to believe the bottled water consumption around the world. It is staggering. Just the bottled water, not counting the bathing, the industrial, the agricultural uses of water, just the drinking water that is bottled. Now, this bottled water industry is a growing adventure. Many people are dependent upon water, bottled water, and they think that it's better to drink bottled water. And have you ever seen it? I mean, I come from the old school when water was plentiful. Back in the 30s and 40s, we had Springs Galore here in Tennessee. A lot of those springs have dried up, and now when you look for land, ladies and gentlemen, one of the prerequisites that you must look for in choosing land for all things in common to survive after Babylon falls. Don't worry about Babylon until she falls. She's going to fall. But make sure that you have the sufficient tools to survive. And it must, the number one requirement is finding land in a correct zone to grow food. That's very important. Make sure you have lots of water, because water will become an issue in the next 10 years to the critical stage. Just to flush a toilet in America, it takes 12 liters of water. Just to bathe, it takes 120 to 200, depending. More people in the city use a lot more water than people that are in the country. It takes, just to shower, it takes 60 to 80 liters of water. And from the washing machine, remember, my mom washed our clothes, if you came up in the era I did, in a galvanized tub. And we would carry the water from the spring. We didn't have water pipes in those days, so we carried the water. And the children were charged with the responsibility of carrying water. And I carried a bucket of water from the spring. And thankfully, our spring was only about 50 yards from the home. And homes were built in those days to be close to the water source. And most people built where there were springs, because in that day there wasn't a lot of wells that were dug in that day. Wells have only become a major issue of our since the 40s, the late 40s and the 50s, men began to venture into other territories where no springs were present, and they dug wells. But we have actually wasted the water in our washing machines, our bathtubs, our flushing, the commodes, and the showers that we have, and just actually doing things with water that we take for granted. In Idaho, there's not enough water in the Snake River to go around, and federal officials are exploring ways to pay some farmers to forego the crops to free up more water for others. Did you hear me well? They're exploring ways to pay farmers to keep them from using the water and to forego their crops, that it would free up more water for others who are building into the cities, these giant cities, or these residential districts, or these subdivisions, where they now need more river water, or stream water, or dammed water, to operate the growing system for the expanding, ever-expanding population. They are now in a great debate in Idaho. Well, now let's run the Colorado down its tributaries, and we now know that they've been fighting for water for the last 40 years. The usage of water has become a great issue. And farmers who are letting their land lay idle for the sake of no water. The groundwater users are proposing a total lease rate of about $100 an acre to take land irrigated by groundwater out of production, $100 an acre to just let the land lay, to extract no crops because it takes water. And in some of these areas where water through natural rain cycles does not supply enough water to the crops, to the surface. They have to take water and irrigate the land to raise their crops, and they're being paid now. And of course, a lot of farmers here in Tennessee are included, mostly not for water, because we are in a great water basin that the Tennessee Valley Authority has dammed up this region, and we serve 7 states. I'm at the top of the stream here in eastern Tennessee, where the giant TVA complex operation starts and runs all the way into Alabama, where they have the freight system of the barges that come up the Tennessee River down to the Arkansas and down to the Gulf of Mobile, Alabama. And so water is, at this point, is not an issue. However, just to generate the electricity for those 7 states, the Tennessee Valley Authority is now using more and more water. In other words, more water flows out of the valley and down through the dam system to turn the turbines to generate the power. And they now are calling for a restriction on housing, manufacturing, development, and usage of the water, because so much water has been siphoned off for these other utility systems to develop more subdivisions and industry, that we have what is now a crisis. Well, let's get it down to the human level. The brain is 75% water. If you have moderate dehydration, you can have headaches, dizziness, and things of this nature. And so it's recommended that you drink from 6 to 8 to 10 to 12, depending on your labor, glasses of water each day. Water is required in your body. It regulates your body temperature. It carries the nutrients and oxygen to all cells of the body. Their blood that flows through your body is 92% water. And it moistens the oxygen for the breathing through the lung system and protects and cushions the vital organs. It helps to convert food to energy. It helps absorb the nutrients that you intake. It removes waste. Bones are 22% water. Muscles are 75%. And it cushions the joints in the bones. And some of the problems with people, young people, having arthritis is a lack of water. They're drinking substitute like sugar drinks and things of this nature. Now, most people take water for granted. If you scan the globe and talk with those who know, there is definitely a fresh water shortage, and it will continue to grow as time goes on. Now, I mentioned to you about Mexico City sinking as it sucks out the underground water faster than the aquifer can refill, and it's sunk in an area of 5 inches, and this is critical, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a major problem in the time to come. Florida, for instance, that is surrounded practically on both sides with water as it fingers out into the Atlantic Ocean. It now is facing a severe water shortage because it wants to refill its overpumped aquifer with untreated surface water, despite federal regulations to the contrary, and the feds have admitted that they may, just may, have to permit Florida to refill its overpumped aquifer with untreated surface water. Now, you know what's going to happen there. Well, if you look around the globe, I have a picture of Lake Chad in Nigeria. And in 73, you can see the blue, beautiful lake. It's a giant lake. Now, it is 73% depleted. And you can look on the present day space overflight photo, and it is almost a dried up basin because of the people demanding more water. Texas is moving toward private for profit water sales. Now, let me repeat that now to show you the coming prices are going to be water, and land with water is going to be a must for those who are thinking about moving to back to the land, to the simple things, the simple life, how to generate electricity off of a moving stream. Ladies and gentlemen, they have done that in Vietnam for 50 years. They know how to make these little paddle generators and put them in a moving stream of water. I know people that are living in the mountains here of Tennessee that have developed good electrical systems from fast-moving streams. So you would like to have a good fast-flowing stream where you could actually employ a generator, electrical generator in the stream, a tidal generator that could actually supply emergency, if not more, electricity than you would need. So then that is very important to know about when choosing a place for all things in common. Now, Texas is moving toward private for-profit water sales. The water will be mined from the aquifers that are disappearing fast, and no word on what the private suppliers, including corporate raider T-Bone Pickens, will do once the aquifers run dry. Well, I'll tell you what they're going to do. You're going to cry for water. Your body is literally going to cry. The earth is going to cry for water because of the overpopulation or the central location of large cities which demand so much water, and most of it is wasted. A large percentage, they say over 30% of the water that we're using today is wasted. It's not being utilized the way it should be. Aquifers around the world are being overtapped for irrigation, agriculture, which fills about 40% of the global needs. The Bush administration has withdrawn a proposed tightening of the arsenic standard for drinking water. Critics say that the old rule dating back to 1942 could allow thousands of cases of cancer and other diseases that is being put into the water. We're talking about these poisons that they add to the water to make it safe for human consumption. And they discount the arsenic and the lead and the metals. We know that China can no longer drink or use or refine the water because of the heavy pollution metals that have gone into at least 50% of the rivers and made them nothing but pools of poison. Now listen to this. In Bangladesh, what's being called the largest poisoning of a population in history has 35 to 77 million people drinking arsenic-laced water that is of levels unacceptable to modern standards. Folks, we're in for quite a problem down the road in water. So in communal living, now, to you that are going to listen to me, we need your assistance. We need your input. We need to stop talking and start walking toward our selected land of plenty of water. We need to scout out the land. We need to have fresh water systems that will supply our needs for the next 50 years will be so critical that, ladies and gentlemen, that water could become more precious than gold. Now, let me repeat that. There is coming a time when they will cast their silver and gold in the streets, and yet it will not deliver them. Bottled water Do you know that the usage of bottled water is so high that now water bottling companies are no longer guaranteeing that your water comes from fresh springs or artesian wells, but are now just being bottled out of the municipal systems, and they don't even have to tell you that it comes from those systems, as long as it meets the EPA standard and the guidelines of the federal government for safe drinking water. In other words, the water that's been laced with arsenic and perhaps other things. We know that chlorine is added, and if you've ever taken a shower in the chlorine or municipal system water, you know how your skin dries and it begins to itch and burn? Well, the body, the largest absorbent muscle in the body is the skin. It will take in more water per bathing or per shower than you would drink all day. So you get most of your water from bathing. In other words, your skin, your cells, they become saturated with water. It literally drinks in water. And if you shower in water that is not filtered properly to take out the chlorine and the metals and the toxics that they put in, the fluoride and things of this nature. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a weather crisis, believe it or not. And this weather crisis is going to continue until we come back to the OPAP. We come back to simple, restricted, territorial living where small groups of people can live in harmony and to protect the land and its environment and give back to the land more than we take. We can do that. And that's the type of living that we must go back to actually survive the coming crisis that will be here after the fall of Babylon. Now, people are wanting Babylon to fall, but once Babylon falls, you're going to be on your own. Remember that. There's going to be a chaos, possible anarchy. There's going to be confusion, people running to and fro, seeking rest, and finding land. And if you don't have the adequate food storage of things that will make it necessary for your survival, with all things in common with them that have tilled the land, it's time that we move in that direction. Now, we have several places located for small groups. And if you'd like to be a positive part of small groups, we're not out to overthrow the government. We're not to take anything from the world. We're to live honestly and fairly among the people, be good neighbors, kind neighbors, responsive neighbors, and responsible neighbors, to live in the community, to be an asset rather than a liability that would hang on to Babylon and suck the breast of Babylon until we literally fall off as parasites from the body of Babylon. And after that, we've lived fat and convenient. Did you know that most people don't even know how to till the ground? They don't know how to doctor animals when they're sick. They don't know how to start a fire when the weather is wet, snowy, or rainy, without a match or without a cigarette lighter or without some kind of a butane torch. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn how to survive on the simple things. And once we survive, learn to survive, learn to tend, learn to preserve all natural, organic, grown foods with a good, clean water source is what we need. Now, we don't need to raise any red flags from having large groups, so we must have a lot of places selected. And we need people that will act So I'm encouraging people to join with Pastor Buddy and prepare communities around the world, if not the United States in particular, where we live. A lot of people are wanting to flee America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the greatest and will continue to be the richest nation in the world, far beyond the existence of other nations that will fail. This is a covenant nation that will be returned to the Father. So you remember that when you make your plans to escape America, you could be jumping out of the present frying pan and going to the fire and to perish with the wicked. Stay with the covenant people. Stay with kind after kind. Get with your kind after kind people and like-minded people that are dedicated to the common things, that are not interested in getting rich or to scheme or to misuse other people at the expense of others. We don't want to do that. We want to live commonly and righteously and as simple as we can on a land that will produce the needs of the people that are involved. Remember what the scripture said. He that deals with a slack hand will come to poverty. If you're dealing with Babylon, you're going to come to poverty because Babylon's going to fall. It is for certain if you've got stocks and bonds, you've got them wrapped up in some big company that you trust will pay a dividend. Remember the time of Joseph, when Joseph was sent to Egypt to take over the government, he devised such a government that he actually took the people and made them a slave to the government system. And they literally had to give up their land in mortgage payments because they couldn't grow anything. Did you know those times it could return? And if you are not able to survive at least 1 year, and perhaps two at the most, because there could be a famine in the land that you couldn't grow anything. If you don't have sufficient canned goods, the stores are going to fail. The delivery system, the trucking system, the electronic grids, these all could fall and probably will. What are you going to do when Babylon falls? Are you going to stand and till the land? And if you do, you shall have plenty of bread. But he that falleth after vain persons shall come to poverty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to meet and to live among a group of praying people, a group of fasting people, a group of hard-working people that want to till the land to have plenty of bread, to teach our children the basics of common knowledge, not this advanced, perverted knowledge of the perverted people. The world was its own, but if you don't know the world, then you need to gather with those who are not of the world. How good and wholesome it is to live with people that know Yahweh and will obey His commandments, and that will give back more to the land than they take from it. There is a way to love the land. The Indians, the native Indians of America, have always taught us not to abuse our country, our earth. And yet, we have these people who have no respect. They will plow the land up. They will take up all of the topsoil. They will farm land in co-op style to the point that they will actually literally poison the ground to where the land is actually more poisonous than the food that it produces. And that's amazing. But using the organic methods of farming to enrich the soil and to follow the principles of the 7 years, let the land rest. How can you do that if you haven't prepared food to abundantly live on during the time of rest? You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, those are biblical things, and we don't do those things no more. We can do those things, and we can be blessed and eat plenty from the land because the Bible tells us so. But food storage is an insurance. We've got to have this insurance of at least 3 years of food prepared and preserved for times of trouble. In other words, a three-year eternal. That's 36 months for a group of 20 people in small communities that are assisting and living and communicating with each other in the time of trouble. Now, what a few can accomplish, many can. But many gathered together creates a force, a threat to the present day society. So a few good farms scattered in an area that is located close in proximity to one another, we can survive the coming fall of Babylon, and Babylon is about to fall. There is no question about it that Babylon, your bank, your job, your health, your paycheck, or your healthcare system, institution, your supermarket, your local delivery trucks and warehouses, the manufacturer shivers and the plane itself, the farmers and the harvesting equipment and delivery trucks, the crops and the weather. All of these are in upheaval and no uncertainty. There is no security among the system of Babylon, and the more insecure that we find ourselves, the more reason it is to gather and have all things in common. Now, this is not a new ideal. This was in Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 15 that we find the apostolic believers of the day that Christ taught them how to come together and live in a community style to survive. Now, we know that Babylon was existing in Rome, and Rome was a powerful entity in the earth, and men had to obey what she said. But the time will come, as Nebuchadnezzar found out by the wisdom of Daniel the prophet when he interpreted the dream. He said, "You are the first king of Babylon. There will be three to follow you, and three kingdoms that will be set up, and the fourth kingdom will be diverse from all the other kingdoms, and will be powerful, part iron and part clay, and shall devour the whole earth." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that time is now. We're having a new ideal about a new world order that will bring the earth to its knees, the people in the earth, to its knees to serve Babylon. And when that happens, the Father will let it continue for a short while, and then he'll bring it down. But do you know that we can survive before and after Babylon if we use the wisdom and the teachings of the Scriptures to go back to the land and till it? Till it in common desires. Not to have produce abundance, but to be blessed in the abundance of things that we have, offering freely to the community. See, we're going to have to depend on one another, growing the food for one another, and preserving it. And I'm telling you, it's more simple to live in a community of people that will be gathered together for security's sake, along with labor's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of communities that I could tell you about that are living like this and have been living for over 30 years that I've known some of these communities and how they live and how that they have survived with their own school systems, and they marry within the community and they expand and then they start other communities. And this is the ideal of what Pastor Buddy's talking to you about tonight. And the particular thing that I'm talking about is we must have land that has water. Water is the most important thing that we have to look forward to. Water. We need land with water. We got to have water. How bad is the situation in the world today for the shortage of water? It's critical. And ladies and gentlemen, with the population growth, unless we have a major world war, which I suspect is coming up, to lighten the load that Mother Earth is carrying today, the feet of so many people being born into the world, and most of these are what we call the unfit. They are not productive. They are dependent upon Babylon to supply their needs. They go to the cities. They live off the welfare systems. and they create more problems rather than alleviating the problem. They create the problem. They are not assets. They're liabilities. And 90% of the people being born today are nothing but mere liabilities to the small percentage of the people that is producing the food on this earth. Famine, pestilence, the waves of the sea going, heart spelling, people eating unhealthy food and living off of welfare and insurance, taking the bribes of the large companies to work for them to produce pollution and disease and filth. Rather than being part of the solution, they become a major part of the problem, and it's growing and intensifying to such a rate that water is going to be one of the most critical things that we have to look forward to. Now, part one, water shortages. Next Sunday night, we're going to get into the operation of the food chain and tell you about modified foods and the dangers that's coming around the bend for those of you who are beginning unknowingly to consume foods that have been modified, gene-spliced, to create, we think, a system of diseases that's not been heard of. I believe that man is formulating disaster, that the eyes will literally melt in the socket. These are being diseased, these vaccinations and things that we're taking. These are time bombs waiting to explode in the majority of the population. We're going to have ravaging diseases. It's going to be good if you want to survive to come to the land. Now, you listen to the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy. My time is already gone. Let me give you my address. That's simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, let me get it to you again. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm right here manning the phones. And if you'd like to call and talk to me in positive tone about the things that we need to do, and if you have any suggestions, or if you know someone that would be willing to sell their property and move with a few good quality people and contribute it to property that we could own, many pieces of property, not just one. We're going to have several. So if you'd like to be a part of that, and it's going to be low-key, it's going to be good, wholesome living, we're not going to invite strangers. We're not going to invite those who are not our kind. We're going to only address the problem for the people of the kingdom of Yah. Those who believe in prayer, those that believe in the Creator, those that confess Him, those that will teach your children to do so, and those that will be kind and will till the land for their bread. That's what we're looking for. You can call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary tonight, you can do so, and he can take your credit card to support our broadcast. We thank all of those that helped us, particularly one man up in the great state of Maine. Man, how many people do we have in the great, beautiful state of Maine that love the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy and Dr. Gary? 1-877-289-7439. That's the number to call if you have a credit card and you'd like to contribute to the Shepherd's Call. You can do so. If you'd like to send your tithes directly to Pastor Buddy, you can do so by mailing them to Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. The zip is 37824, and that's New Tazewell, Tennessee. We're looking for your card or your letter. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. I will reply to every one of them. I never fail to reply to everyone's mail. Sometimes I'm a little slow, but I'll get around to you. And we encourage you to be a participant in the days to come. If you're living in a city, you especially need to get out. Get out now. Remember Lot? He was warned to get out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ladies and gentlemen, the time of judgment has come as the Father stood up in the 61st book of Isaiah. And he quoted the first two verses, or the first verse and a half, and he left off the last part of that verse, and it was the time of vengeance. Well, I believe that you have seen vengeance since the year 2000. We stood on the altars of Yah, the ones that were dedicated to Him in the year 2000, and we called for the heavens to be shut up to our enemy, and that his witchcraft and devices would no longer work, and we cursed the enemy in the kingdom of this earth, that is ruling this earth. And so we've seen major changes in the last 5 years because we shut up the heavens, and we shut the door to Satan and his power. And now the wrath and the retribution is coming down upon the head of the enemy, and all of the wicked that live here shall be severed from the earth and separated, and the righteous shall reign and rule. Ladies and gentlemen, this earth will be inhabited by righteous people. My time is all coming down. Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. Call me up tonight or write me a letter. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip
378. Till Armageddon, no Somali, no Somali. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet will cast the golden crown. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust to him. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words now written down. We have a top ranch and a piper. One of the red men got the engine swinging.
His name was Solomon, was Death.